Hi,
this is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. Here we are again with another extremely important show. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And we're here to discuss some topics that you might not understand in the way we are going to present them. And when you do, it's like a puzzle piece fits in and the whole picture becomes revealed. Listen, take some notes, re-listen, because this is an important talk. And I know in understanding this information, many of you will want to make changes in your life, in your home, and in many of your eating habits. So, I'll start out by telling a little bit of a story. I had a patient yesterday who came in, and he's from Spain. Every time he comes into New York, he visits my office. I was talking with him about Spain, and in Spain, they do everything wrong. Okay. They eat late at night, 10:30, they're eating a big meat meal.
Uh-huh.
Just right there is a big red flag. Eating late at night, 10:30, big meat meal, would not be what I would recommend to my patients. But yet, with all of that, they're not heavy. So we began talking, and what he said is, first of all their food is fresh. They eat literally local, relatively local. They eat local meats that were slaughtered within miles from the butchers within the last day. They also eat vegetables that were grown. They use olive oil. They don't use polyunsaturated fatty acid oils, the seed oil. So here they are breaking all the rules, and yet they're slim. Overall, as a culture, their energy is good, and with lower heart disease than what we have. And so we had to really discuss and look at the differences. And the differences seem to be the freshness, but the other big difference that is happening there is that they'll use animal lard to cook with, they'll use butter to cook with, they'll use olive oil to cook with. And within those fats, that's the majority of the portion of what they eat in their foods. So how does that come together, Carol? Does that make any sense to you on why that's an important fact? In terms of the American Heart Association would say, oh my goodness, that's a whole country and it's an anomaly. Today we're going to show you how it's not an anomaly. So, Carol, what do you think about all this?
Oh, one of my first thoughts was, if you indeed had a robust digestion, you wouldn't have to worry about eating late at night. And I believe that those meals take a long time to eat. People don't gulp down their food and have totally undigested food hitting their stomach. They take time, they chew. So it's much less of a problem under those circumstances. I think our fast food, fast culture has really caused us some digestion issues. But the focus of what we wanted to talk about today are those very oils. What kind of fats and oils that you're using? And we came across a nice book about this called The Fat Burn Fix by Catherine Shanahan. And she is warning us against the use of seed oils. I'll name the top eight that she said we really have destroyed our lives eating these things. And it's canola oil, corn oil, cottonseed, soy oil, sunflower seed, safflower oil, grape seed, and rice bran oil.
That's almost everything
that you can think of.
Exactly, that's out there. There's a few you didn't mention, but we'll discuss those shortly. So go on.
She points out metabolic diseases are on the rise, and we talked in particular about diabetes. And the rise in the rate of diabetes exactly correlates to the rise of our using these seed oils and replacing traditional things like lard and butter, or if you were in the vegetarian world, coconut oil and palm seed oil are saturated fats. And we've been given a message that for good health, good heart health, we need to be eating the seed oils.
And not eat saturated fats.
Right.
At all.
So now we have, this is how she put together a little picture of a man and all these arrows going into. So the metabolic diseases we have problems with a dependence on sugar. And for a good part of this, we've been pointing sugar out as the problem for diabetes. So the solution for that is to vary your snack food. Overactive hunger. And I actually know people who suffer with this, that they feel never satisfied. And the solution with conventional eating is supersized meals.
Or six, seven meals a day.
Right. But it was a way to deal with the hypoglycemia you had, just to keep eating all day long. So we have chronic allergies. We use corticosteroids. We have chronic asthma. That's really on the rise. And again, we use corticosteroid sprays. High fasting blood sugar. We use our favorite drug, metformin, which is number one selling drug in many countries. Our fat in the accumulation in our arteries, we just go ahead and stick some stents in people. Here's a big one, acid reflux. And it seems to me, and maybe it's my age group, more and more people are having trouble with acid reflux. And we have those wonderful acid blockers like Pepcid and Nexium that you can get over the counter.
Which cause osteoporosis and memory loss.
Oh, all kinds of degenerative problems. Then we have a solution for erectile dysfunction, and that's probably on the rise, too. We've created Viagra. And then blood clots. We've got a whole host of blood thinners, and we like to put people on that chronically as prevention. These drugs are not necessarily life-enhancing or life-lengthening, but that's what we do. And Dr. Shanahan is writing that underlying all these metabolic issues, and we know that these things are on the rise. We have been driven in that direction. It's not our fault. Our food supply has been inundated with these oils. So Corinne, give us a lowdown where we find those oils.
Well, we find them in close to everything. Anything that's been processed has these what they call this very nice euphemism, and that is plant oils, to make them sound natural. Well, they're not natural, and they're refined to such a degree, they're bleached, they're extracted. If you look at a plant which produces these plant oils for this multi-billion-dollar industry, and you look at an oil plant where they are extracting oil to make it into fuel, they look exactly the same from the outside. And both of these plants are creating toxic pollutions. There are other doctors that are saying that the problem with diabetes is not just the sugar, it's these plant oils which are toxifying the cells. These plant oils are non-digestible and our bodies cannot use them for fuel, so they store them. And they store them in the cell wall, which literally toxifies the mitochondria and makes the mitochondria, the energy portion of the cell, unable to produce energy. So there we are, taking more and more of these oils that we were told to take to protect our heart. And we're creating heart disease. We're creating diabetes. And what is happening is that these oils are getting the cells to say, stop, stop, I am closing down. And the end result is then we eat sugar and our bodies won't take it in at all into the cells. And what's happening is there is this cascade that's building and making it so we become insulin resistant, which is a risk factor and a causative factor of heart disease and kidney disease and macular degeneration, et cetera, and blindness, et cetera, et cetera. And we are being told and directed to continue to eat these while we're being told that saturated fats are a problem for us, which our bodies can metabolize saturated fats. We can metabolize coconut oil, which is the majority of it is a saturated fat. That is, if it's not refined. We can metabolize butter. We can metabolize meat fats, but we cannot metabolize the oils that Carol directly outlined in the beginning of the talk, and they're toxifying our bodies. They're making it so that when we eat, we continue to be hungry. They're slowing down our metabolism. I have young girls that come in and say, I'm not eating much, and yet I'm getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And when you look at their intake, they really aren't eating much. But what they are eating are what they call PUFA, polyunsaturated fatty acids. And when we change that, and we don't even change the calorie content, these young people begin to lose weight. What frustration they're living with.
This is so interesting. The big danger with these unsaturated fats is that they're very unstable. They have double bonds. That's what unsaturated means. Usually a carbon is hooked to a hydrogen one-to-one, but in these fats, there are many junctures where one carbon has two hydrogens, and that's unstable, and the body wants to change it, and that allows the body to oxidize either inside the body or actually when these oils go rancid and they smell bad, that's also happening outside in the bottles themselves, that oxygen is being added to this fatty acid. And the danger now that it's oxidized is that this is a highly inflammatory molecule, and we have constant inflammation. And inflammation has been identified as one of the primary indicators of advanced aging. So these accumulation of these oxidized fats in our body increase our tendency to age and to have all the symptoms of chronic diseases stacking up, the burden getting bigger and bigger as daily we do this. I'd like to jump over to a little side remark. How did we change? And it was actually contrived by the American Heart Association. She said it came in 1948. Doctors assembled for their meeting, the American Heart Association, and they decided to reinvent themselves. So they were no longer just going to depend on membership dues from their members, but they were going to start forging corporate partnerships, which would bring money into the organization. And a short while later, they had their first big donor. And it happened to be a company that was marketing what they called a cholesterol-free butter alternative made with a vegetable oil. So our American Heart Association and their recommendations are compromised. They get and have gotten since 1948, big money to support this idea that these oils are somehow healthier for you. And the evidence is proving to be exactly opposite.
And this evidence isn't something just current the last few weeks. It's been for over 100 years that we've known that saturated fats are very and completely digestible, and it's been written up and explained. So this big shift, and when you look at the shift and how people, you know, create this shift and the percentage that creates this shift, you can see a graph, a direct correlating graph from heart disease, diabetes, kidney disease, and increased use of these polyunsaturated fatty acids. And where are you going to get them? Every time you walk out the door and you buy food out. You're going to get them when you eat French fries. You're going to get them when you eat chips. You're going to get them when you get any type of pastries in a package, all packaged foods. That's where the problem comes in. And that's why we have to look back to ourselves and see what we can do to get our food and our eating back into our homes and connected with our cultures. And that's the power of it. When you look at the different cultures, when you look at the different long-lived cultures and you look at their fatty acid intake, you see saturated fats. The majority of their fats are saturated fats. Now, there are some oils that are what they call good oils. Want to name those, Carol?
No, I don't.
I will. Then I will. I thought I was just passing it back to you. Avocado oil is one of the better ones, but olive oil is excellent. Particularly, now they've got that light olive oil. Forget it.
Forget it.
You don't want it light. You want the regular olive oil, if possible, organic. But when you're dealing with directly from Italy, you're getting organic anyway. But it's really hard to know what's directly from Italy because everything's being shipped to Italy and they're bottling it and sending it out. So it has to be, the best is organic, extra virgin. So it's the first press. It's not going through all the refinery processes. So we've got avocado extra virgin organic olive oil. And we also peanut oil, which I just learned about the other day. Carol explained it to me. Peanut oil has
I was very surprised to learn this myself.
And yes.
I actually wondered for a long time. In the Asian culture, my friends use a lot of peanut oil, and it is unsaturated, but it's not hugely unsaturated. And Dr. Shanahan has it in her good oil list, so I was astounded. But what she says about peanut oil is that the peanuts are loaded so much with antioxidants that for this oil, the oxidation problem does not exist. As I mentioned before, this is the huge issue with the inflammation. There's another piece of this, and it's how they cook. When you use that peanut oil and you just cook your vegetables just for a few minutes to make them just a bit tender in that oil, you don't have much time to get that oil oxidated to where it's
high heat.
Dangerous for you. So if you were to use that same peanut oil, let's say in a vat at McDonald's to fry French fries, and keep reusing that oil over and over and over again, you'd now create an oxidized situation, which could be dangerous.
But the way they cook is they flash heat, and right. they soften slightly the outside of the vegetable and maintain the inside of the vegetable almost raw. So you're getting all the advantages of being able to break through the outer protective covering and getting this semi-raw vegetable in the middle, which is loaded with nutrients. So it's a flash heat. But then there's other oils that we can use to cook with. And Carol brought this to my attention. Lard. And she brought to my attention that McDonald's used to cook their French fries in lard.
Yeah.
And
it was beef tallow that they used. And traditionally people use that for their cooking all the time. And I wanted to bring up my fancy French restaurant experience.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I went out for dinner, and we were considering steak and frites, frites being the fries, of course. So we inquired about what kind of oil was used to fry the French fries. And, of course, he said something like canola oil, but he said the real French way is to use horse fat.
Horse fat?
Yeah, which it would be perfectly good saturated animal fat. But he said people don't want that now. They want canola oil. So that's what he said. He had to change because of pressure from people. But where were people getting this idea? Let's go back to the American Heart Association. They told them that's what they wanted. But the American Heart Association didn't base that decision on good health. They base that on money in their pockets.
So, advertising.
We have a big problem here.
Just like when you go on the front page, or used to, I haven't gone recently, on the front page of the American Heart Association, or you buy a box of Cheerios endorsed by the American Heart Association.
Yeah, so, just like the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval.
Exactly.
That costs money.
That costs money. So they're also, in France, they use duck fat to cook their fries, yeah. too, don't they?
I came across this in Las Vegas. Several restaurants were offering special fries in duck fat, which were absolutely delicious. Dr. Ray Pete also says you can make perfectly healthy French fries by using coconut oil. If you wanted to stay vegetarian in your French fries. So very, very interesting.
I make fries for my son regularly. And what do I... first of all, they don't need to be cooked for hours in this deep fat. I'm able to almost like pan fry them. And I use olive oil and butter mixed together, which makes this absolutely wonderful tasting potato. And my whole family loves them. I'm known for my, but I really can't call them French fries because I'm not French. I guess they'd be called Italian fries.
Okay.
And we love them. And I never get complaints. So it's really up to us to bring our foods back into our home, to understand that one and a major aggravator of the inflammation that we're feeling in our joints, in our head, right down to our memory loss or our thinking process. And also, it goes into cancers also, that we have to look at our oils and we have to pull out those polyunsaturated fatty acids and start putting back real oils into our diet. Now, I've said this before, but a long time ago, you know, we used to have dessert at our house. We had it on Sundays, and we had, this was before breads were sprayed in the way that the wheat was sprayed in the way that it is now. We used to have a cake or some pastries. And what were they made out of? They were very Italian, so they're low sugar. They were made out of fresh eggs from a local dealer. They with the yellow and the white mixed together, and they were made out of butter or a little bit of lard. And we had it every Sunday. And when it was complete, that was it till next week. So we weren't eating pastries all week long with every meal. We were eating them once a week and maybe even going into Monday because there might be some left over. And we were, I know, we were lucky on those days, and we were enjoying them, and they were a part of a healthy food program. So that, the understand you don't have to give up everything to be healthy. You just need to shift it. What's more delicious than those madeleines that are made with eggs and butter and organic flour? There's nothing more delicious than those cookies that are shaped like little shells. And a little sugar, very little sugar, too much sugar, it doesn't taste good.
That's so cool. I'd like to, you're making my mouth water, actually. I'd like to shift over to the idea, why are we supposed to be eating these oils? The idea is to get your cholesterol down. And a high cholesterol is considered a danger, and that you're going to pack this cholesterol in your arteries, which is not necessarily the case. But many, many people who've had these calcium scores from CAT scans with high cholesterol with absolutely no plaque buildup, and people with low cholesterol with lots of plaque buildup. But I just love what she wrote about LDL. We've been told that's the bad cholesterol.
The LDL is,
yeah, it's not cholesterol at all. It's a carrier protein that carries cholesterol to your starving cells to feed them the cholesterol they need. She calls it, it's like, they're like Uber Eats for your hungry cells. I thought this was so beautifully put. Mm-hmm. Cells absolutely need that cholesterol. Every cell wall, to make that cell wall, to make new cells, you have to have cholesterol to make it with. You have to have cholesterol to make all your hormones. And I'm so concerned about all these drugs driving down cholesterol and impairing your ability to make sex hormones, adrenal hormones, vitamin D, which is the most universal help for your immune system, and bile. We had a lovely talk about how important bile was with Dr. Chris Shade, and how we can stimulate bile production with bitters. But we can't make it if we don't have the basic material to make it with, and that's cholesterol. This is a building block of life. It is not our enemy. It's our friend.
And we see it also in our brains. When cholesterol goes down too low, suicides go up. Depression goes up. Our ability to think and to feel calm has to do with essential fatty acids and with cholesterol. So we're looking at saturated fats also. So I remember years ago, this was so radical when I heard it, that they were taking children with attention deficit learning disorders and giving them cod liver oil. It was an orphanage in England, and the nuns were running it, and they were giving these, and it was a male, boys, and they were giving these boys cod liver oil. And the end result was that these children were thinking better, they were calmer, their grades went up, and I thought how radical that was. And now, when I hear that same story, I just say how logical that is.
It is, and there's actually an assessment tool for people to use to evaluate how big a problem polyunsaturated fats are in their diet, and it's called HOMA-IR, H-O-M-A-IR. It stands for Homeostatic Model Assessment of Insulin Resistance.
Do I have to remember that for the quiz?
Oh, yeah. On the internet, you can find a calculator, and you simply have to ask your practitioner to do a test for fasting glucose and fasting insulin. And you go
that's easy.
Calculator, and it'll give you some idea of how many of these fats have been taken up by your cell walls where it should be a saturated fat. And so you can actually measure how big the problem is. You can do something about it. And this is not an overnight fix. You have to eliminate those fats from your diet.
Exactly.
And then you have to add the healthy fats back so you can make healthy cells. So you could actually monitor yourself, what your progress is over time, if you like. So what an important tool, and it's not exotic lab testing. Many people get this on their routine visits with their doctors, but fasting insulin, less so. So make sure you ask for it.
It's interesting in the fact that I can literally biopsy tissue and then look at it and see the fats that someone has eaten in the last 3 months, because it's sitting there, literally sitting there on their cell walls. So in order to make the conversion back to healthy cells or to healthier cells, it's going to take a minimum of 3 months. There will be an improvement after the first month. And I see it. I see it in patients. I see it in their skin. I see it in the clarity of their eyes. And then the second month, but by the third month, by the end of the third month, all of those toxic oils can be removed and eliminated. Not every drop of them, but a majority of those toxic oils can be removed and eliminated from the body. That is, and replaced by good oils. So during the time when you're stopping the polyunsaturated fatty acids or the vegetable oils, and you're giving yourself good oils and saturated fats, I recommend people working with their livers. Help your liver, because all that gunk is being dumped into your liver. And how do you, and your liver is being expected to process this. Well, thank you very much. The liver is already overworked processing all the other exposures that we don't even know we're getting. So I always recommend a liver detox tea. And it comes in many shapes and sizes. It doesn't have to be just one or one company. You go into a health food store and get a liver tea, a liver detox tea, a liver kidney detox tea. All of those can be wonderful, and you make them up and you drink them throughout the day. And that supports this process of dumping toxins from the body.
So I wanted to point out before we get too far, we've got our Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and I've already posted Dr. Kate's chart of healthy oils, not-so-healthy oils, and the absolutely forbidden oils. So you have some guideline. If you go to our Facebook page, please pop in and take a look. I've already seen some of my friends picking up on that.
Downloading
other
it.
People, like, mm-hmm. Because it's so handy and so clear. If there's any question in your mind, it's probably right here.
So it's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. You type that in, it comes right up. If you just write Take Charge of Your Health, multiple things come up, but Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and our page will come right up, and you'll see that chart. And it'll help you. It'll give you a little clarity. You can download it, and it'll give you a little clarity on which way you want to go in your home. And it'll also help you in helping your children, your teenagers, to stay healthier. And what you will see in the change is that you'll have clearer and more even moods. You'll have the young girls will have easier menses without all the pain that they're experiencing. You'll also have less food cravings and less coming home, I'm starving, as they're grabbing for a cookie or a piece of candy. Why? Because they're more satisfied. But there's other pieces of ingredients that we have to be on high alert about. And especially coming in, well, for all of us, but especially coming into our families and our children. And we have to understand that when foods are processed, profits are being put before food safety and before the health of the population. And millions of people are suffering from serious, and I'm going to repeat that, serious health conditions that are caused by these modern-day processed foods, as we have been explaining in the first half of the show. But now I want to switch because there is a multi-billion dollar international companies that stand to lose huge profits if the public understands this whole show, but also this part of the show. So what are we speaking about? We're speaking about artificial sweeteners. We're speaking about brain toxic, heart toxic aspartame that literally is destroying our health. They knew this in the beginning. They tried to release aspartame before, but it was blocked because it was carcinogenic. So they changed the name and tried again. And like we said, our agencies, our government agencies, are not really there protecting us. They are there as political watchguards, and they're allowing these toxic substances into our food supply. Aspartame has unique properties in that it breaks down in the body into three very toxic components. And what we're looking at is we're looking at this excitotoxic amino acid, aspartate, and we're looking at phenylalanine and a toxic alcohol called methanol. And methanol further metabolizes and breaks down into more toxic components, and one of those is formaldehyde. So, Carol, you want to take this?
Sure. These substances, methanol poisoning is really serious. There used to be many fatalities during the time that they were stopping the sale of alcohol. People were making their own, and there were methanol sometimes being created instead of ethyl alcohol, which is the alcohol we tend to drink in beers and wine, which is relatively safe. So we've had a history of how dangerous that methanol is to our metabolism. Formaldehyde is the stuff that they use to preserve tissues. If you've ever been in a lab where you're dissecting animals and stuff, and they'll have them, the organs and things, preserved in formaldehyde, just hardened as it gets hard. So basically, we're putting these toxic substances into our bodies. I remember reading about a serious poisoning of our troops. We're sent to a country where the temperature was hot and desert-like conditions. So they sent over all these diet sodas that had aspartame, which is also called Equal. The breakdown started already in the can because of these high temperature conditions. So people were literally drinking a toxic soup, and they had many, many illnesses popping up with the military people because of this. One of the things that these breakdown products will do, it's called lipid peroxidation. And just in the earlier segment, we were talking about the polyunsaturated fats and how they're prone to oxidation. Well, the presence of this particular sweetener will cause a dramatic increase in that peroxidative activity, which means inflammation, which means more and more metabolic diseases and more tendency to an early death. So it's not good.
Then we're looking at destruction of liver cells. We're looking at destruction of brain cells. We're looking at destruction of the thymus gland. And that has to do with our immunity and our ability to make white blood cells. Just two cans a day significantly shifts our metabolism. And what they're finding, like other substances, when you combine them, you have a cumulative effect. And a small amount of aspirin, just a small amount of aspirin, can raise the methanol levels from the aspartame consumption to a much higher level of toxicity, damaging organs and tissues. And the effects of this aspartame, or artificial sweetener, which we were told to drink because it will help us lose weight and we won't consume as much sugar, is that it literally toxifies our organs, reduces the activity in the thymus and hypothalamus. So the end result, the hypothalamus is the organ that allows us to feel satisfied from food. So here we are drinking this drink that the body sees as sweet, so up goes insulin, and we cease to feel satiation. We cease to feel satisfied on the food that we eat. We're looking at, and Dr. Blaylock, we're looking at a list that Dr. Blaylock put together, and he's included a list of major minor side effects. It's very common to see headaches and migraine attacks and confusion mental fog. They did experiments with rats. When they gave them some aspartame, they couldn't complete their task. It took them very long periods of time to complete their tasks because in the middle of a task that they usually did easily, they became confused. We're also looking at personality disorders because we're looking at neurotransmitter shifts in the brain. We're looking at anxiety and panic attacks. Now, visual difficulties, including blindness, that's essential. All of these are essential, but including blindness. And we're looking at vertigo and disorientation, seizures, insomnia, tinnitus, decreased hearing, and then slurred speech because our brains aren't working correctly, depression, muscle spasm, numbness, and dizziness. Do you think that's enough side effects, Carol?
Yeah, and how many of our doctors recognize when you go in with these complaints that intake of an artificial sweetener could be the underlying problem? This just does not happen.
Yeah, if you go in with a vertigo, are they going to say, how many Diet Cokes are you drinking in a day?
No, they won't. It's probably not part of the intake questionnaire at all. So we have a big problem with the conventional medical system simply does not know about some of the root causes of things like this. So it can be very targeted and easy to fix by stopping to drink those things. I'm really upset that when I was young and even when I was pregnant, I was drinking Diet Coke.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry to report it, and I'm apologizing to my daughter. I too was taken in by the advertising that it was safe and better than sugar.
And what happens is that in pregnancy, you're compounding the effect, and it has more of an effect on children, on smaller children, on babies, on smaller beings than it has on adults. So the effect that we're talking about could be much more profound. We're also talking about cancers. Cancers that are commonly found in children, leukemia, lymphomas. These are more recent, and astrocytomas are brain tumors. And what we're dealing with is that this stimulates the overproduction of astrocytes, which is a very specific brain cell, and that is being stimulated by these sweeteners. And so we're not talking about something benign. We're talking about something very dangerous. And we have to, I picked up a tea, honest or...
honest tea. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was honest tea, so I don't want to, but it had a name like that, something that I would trust. So I picked it up and I'm going to buy it. Mm-hmm. And just accidentally, I turn it over, look at the back, aspartame. So we really have to be aware, reading and looking and trying to figure out how we ferret through this maze of ill health that is being served to us daily. And I don't envy us for having to do this. Carol?
I'd like to spend a few minutes on sucralose.
Oh, yes.
Or what we call Splenda, and sucralose is one of the later market entries. And what they've done with sucralose is they've taken a sugar molecule and replaced some of the hydrogens with chlorine, which is very, very highly reactive. And it can be metabolized into very toxic compounds, polychlorinated biphenyls and polychlorinated naphthalene. Now,
wow.
This doesn't sound like something you'd like to put in your body. However,
or in my tea.
Your tea. But it is also said to be very carcinogenic and behaves in many ways just like aspartame. That same list of issues that you just gave us, Corinne, it also applies to sucralose.
Well, it also turns into compounds that are similar to dioxins. And what are dioxins? Dioxins were pulled from the market or pulled from the pesticide supply because of the toxic effects, very direct cause and effect linked to increased in cancers, multiple forms of cancers. And sucralose has been marketed. And they even have charts that show you for one cup of sugar, this amount of sucralose. For another, because it's been marketed to bake with. And what they're finding is heating it magnifies its toxicity. So if you're baking with sucralose, thinking you're doing yourself and your family better, you better think twice and literally pull it out of your shelves and put it into the garbage. It's not even something, oh, well, I'll save and use later. It's a direct into the garbage along with the aspartame.
Well, we've been talking about so much devastating effect by these artificial foods. That have entered into our food supply. Why don't we have some protection from the FDA?
Because
there's the food agency, remember?
Oh, my goodness. Because I think we have to understand that these agencies are really, they're about a political relationship to food. I'll never forget my son. He was like 7 or 8 years old, and they started studying the food pyramid. And my son said, "We don't believe in that." And the teacher looks at him and says, "Why?" And an 8-year-old, or maybe he was 9, said, "Because it's not scientific." And that's what we have to understand, is that these were guidelines that were created for industry and for pharmaceutical support and to sell products. And we're seeing the effects in our children. You know, someone, we were talking about something else and someone called in on WBAI and said, brought our attention to a book that Dr. Ali wrote. And my comment was, oh my goodness, you know, Dr. Majid Ali is so brilliant that when you read things he wrote in the past, you're really looking at the future because he predicted this and explained it to us. Well, one of the things that he said that is so powerful, he talked about young girls and the pain they experience in menses, in the endometriosis that they're experiencing, doubled over in screaming pain, and passing out with their periods and all these problems. And what's happening is that many of those can be directly linked to two of the things we spoke about so far today, and that's polyunsaturated fatty acids, these vegetable oils, and what they're doing to our system. And what do we do about that? We take in good fats. I've been talking about for the last 25 years, like a broken record, I've been talking about cod liver oil. I have no connection with this company. I wish I did. But I personally like Carlson's cod liver oil with lemon in it. And I have all my patients with stomach problems, patients with skin lesions, patients with memory loss, patients doubled over in pain, taking these oils and improving to some degree over time as the oil is then able to be absorbed into the cells. And so we also want to look at what we call seasonal eating. We want to look at fresh foods. Go to your farmer's market. You're going to see seasonal eating. You'll see vegetables and fruits that are only available at this time of year. Get them, cook them. You'll see local lamb that was grown on lambs that roam the hills. You'll see fresh, organic, homemade breads. Absolutely wonderful food. So look to your farmer's market. The farmer's market is the closest thing that we have living in the city to the ability to eat seasonally. And when we utilize that, I can guarantee you, and there's very few things that I guarantee, but I can guarantee you there will be a degree of improved health when you do that. Carol?
I stopped in a bookstore once and I saw a diet book called God's Diet. And I thought, oh, this makes sense to me. Eating whole foods and traditional diets and things. And I look in there and I was so shocked. They were making a gelatin and sweetening it with Equal.
Oh my goodness. That's not very God-given.
Right, so be very careful. I get this messaging everywhere.
Okay, so I want to thank you, Carol. Every time we're together, I learn and I enjoy. It's really fun talking with you. I want to leave the last sentence I am going to say is one that Dr. Blaylock said, and I'm going to read directly from it. The public needs to appreciate that regulatory agencies are not legitimate scientific institutions. They're political, they're business-controlled agencies. Directors of these bureaucracies are assured that they will receive a high-paying job when they leave the government agency. So on that cheerful note, take charge of your health, folks. That's what it's all about. Take charge of your health. And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.